As we have read just now, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, and then 31 to 33. So this is where we will consider the topic, placing God first in your church life. Now, I would like to start first by talking about placing God first. Okay. So what does it mean to place something first? What does it mean to place something first? Now, have you ever heard of this very famous phrase, safety first? What does safety first mean? You're putting safety as a top priority. That's what it means to say, when you say safety first, right? So in this case, we are saying God first, placing God first. It's almost like making a catchphrase, God first. Okay, so now we are clear what it means when we say we want to place God first in our life. Okay, we will consider placing God first in our life generally, and then we will specifically focus on church life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Okay, Matthew chapter 6 is, as you know, is called part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was speaking to a group who was gathered there, and he gave them chapter 5, chapter 6 and chapter 7, a very long message. And right in this part, in chapter 6, he's talking about their possessions. And he's now going to tell them, you need to put God first. Okay, now let's look together at verses 19 to 21. But before we begin, before we look into that, let's ask God to bless us as we read his word together. Okay, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be gathered here in peace and safety, and also in health, in your house on this Sabbath day. Help us, Lord, as we consider your word, that your Holy Spirit will give us understanding. And now as we read your word together, Lord, grant that we will be not just hearers of your word, but also be doers of it. So bless this time as we learn your word together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's read these three verses together, verses 19 to 21. We read again to refresh our memories what the verse says. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21, three verses. Let's read these three together. Ready and begin. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, Jesus gave us a very clear instruction why we should put God first, or the things of God first. And the things of God are heavenly things. Because, he says in verse 19, the treasures upon earth, if you lay them up, they will be corrupted by moth and rust. And also thieves break through and steal them. Now let's look at the word moth and rust. So what is it about earthly treasures that are not worth putting a focus, putting them first? Moth and rust. What do moths do? Anybody know why moth, why Jesus used the example of a moth? Try, just take a guess. What do moths do? You put moth ball, right? What does the moth ball prevent? Prevents the moth from eating your clothes. Now, have anybody seen a moth eat your clothes? No, right? Okay. But in the old days, yes, that happens. Why is it doesn't happen for us? Now, let me explain, okay? Jesus was using a very common case example that the people of that time will understand. Now, for us, it's been 2,000 years. Our clothes are no longer eaten by moth because they are synthetic. If you look at your clothes, some of them are 100% cotton. Now, the moth will eat that. Okay, but sometimes we got dyes and artificial colouring. These are all toxic to the moth. The moth wouldn't want to touch it. So if your clothes has like things like spandex, rayon, these are plastics. The moth doesn't want to eat them. But in the old days, what are their clothes made of? Natural fibres. And these natural fibres come from plants. Now that is food for the moth. So that's why the moth will lay its eggs on the clothes. And when the eggs hatch, the larva come out and they eat the clothes as their food. That's how the moth will destroy their belongings. Okay, that's why for us, you don't see any moth issue, right? Most of the time your parents put moth ball is because they're cockroaches, silverfish, other things. Okay, but the people of that time, they will clearly understand what Jesus meant. because they would see the moth eating up their clothes. And clothes were considered valuable last time. A goodly garment. What about rust? Now, rust, I'm sure you pretty know this. You pretty much know this. If you look around, you will actually see things which are rusty. Things which are made of metal. If not rust, oxidation of metal. So if you have a silver spear, if you leave it out there, what color will it turn to? Brown. Okay, silver oxide. Okay, some, well, you see a bit of green, greenish. Okay, because it's not really silver. Silver oxide is not that kind of color. But when you have a silver colored thing, very often there's nickel in there, and nickel will turn green. Right? It doesn't look shiny anymore. If you look at your medals that you get, they look nice and shiny. But if you leave them in your shelf after a while, they tarnish. You need to polish them. This speaks of how temporal our things are. That was what Jesus was saying. You don't put any emphasis, you don't put a high priority on earthly treasures because they are temporal. They will break down. They will be corrupted. And the second reason he gave us is because in this world, they can be taken from you. He says, thieves can break through and steal. When was the last time anybody here has something stolen from them? So again, maybe you don't have this experience of losing something and having something stolen from you. When I was very young, I remember I was primary three. What we made was a clay model. And it was, they put a mold, you put your clay in, and you come up with a very nice clay model that has the shape of the mold. So I was very happy with it. I put it down, and I went to play catching. I waited for my mom to come and pick me up. When I came back, that model, that clay mold that I had was gone. Now it's only a clay mold, but I was a primary two kid, and that was very precious to me because I had never made a clay model before. I was upset. I can remember myself crying and telling my mom, somebody stole it. Very upset. Now, in this day and age, you might just say, it's just a piece of clay. But if you just go downstairs, you go look at these kindergarten kids, you take their ball and you steal it from them, they will go crying, saying, somebody took my thing, someone cried, right? You have little brothers and sisters who do this. What if somebody stole your phone? You know of any friends who had a phone stolen in school? Yes, right? What was their reaction? They were very upset. So my daughter's school, somebody brought an iPhone 10 to school. Yes, very expensive. Primary school, she's only primary 5. And it was stolen. The teachers, they send out a letter to all the parents and said that there was a phone stolen. And if anyone... And because it was stolen from the classroom, now they suspect that someone from the classroom had stole it. The next day it appeared, and it appeared at the general office. Somebody went to put the phone at the general office. Obviously, the thief is scared. So I heard that they're not going to follow up because it's finally found its way back to the owner, but there was a thief. Thieves can break through and steal. Now, Singapore is very safe. That's why when I asked anybody had things stolen from them, no one raised their hand. But if you just go across the border into Malaysia, it's very common for things to be stolen. In Singapore, we take for granted you can put a phone here on the table and walk out. Try it in any other country. Try it in the United States. You won't see people putting phones and then reading a book on the table because that is asking for it. It will be stolen. Okay? We are just too complacent. So then, when Jesus said these two things, he reminded the people, earthly things are temporal. Earthly things can be stolen from you. How unfair, right? You'll be crying, you'll be upset, angry, because these are precious to you. But they've been forcefully, violently taken away from you. Some will be thief. Some will be robbery. Now, robbery is different from theft. What is the difference? Robbery is violence. They use a knife. Give me your phone, give me your money. These can be violently taken from you. So don't build up these treasures because it's not worth keeping them. Don't lay them up. Lay them up meaning to accumulate them. Instead, Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. What are treasures in heaven? Right, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But what are treasures in heaven? What is this special thing? Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. We just have a quick look at what are some of the examples of heavenly treasure. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and verse 4. Okay, I'll read for you. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and verse 4. Okay, let me read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope. That is one heavenly treasure, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look on in verse 4. What else do we have? To an inheritance incorruptible. Sounds familiar? Where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and undefiled, pure, and that fadeth not away, that will last forever, reserved in heaven for you. So, what is this heavenly treasure? It is a hope in heaven, a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, the rewards from our Father, an inheritance that fadeth not away. Speaking of heavenly things. Now, we do not know how the Lord will reward us in heaven, but we know one thing for sure. There are rewards, right? We know that there are a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, a crown of life. And we know that the Lord says, He uses the example of servants. When they have done well, He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There are praises, there are rewards for being faithful. So we need to lay up for ourselves these type of treasures. So how do we lay up these treasures in heaven? We need to put them as our priority. Remember when we say we put God first, like safety first, we need to put them as a priority. Now look at verse 21. Verse 21 tells us a truth, a very short statement, but a very important truth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you regard something as treasure, there will your heart naturally follow after. Now let's think about this thing a little bit. What do you mean by treasure? So, is this treasure? Is a phone treasure? No? Is a new car a treasure? Is a new house a treasure? Is a new piano a treasure? What about an old piano? An old car? An old house? What is treasure? Okay, so let's think about this word. When we think about this phrase, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, when I say old car, new car, old house, new house, I'm alluding to something. What I'm alluding to is, in your mind, you naturally say newer is better, right? Older is not so good. So newer tend to be something you treasure more. When you have a new phone, you wrap it up in a nice case, you put a plastic protector because you want to preserve it. You don't want it to be scratched. So imagine the manufacturers make such a nice shiny case, then you wrap it up in plastic. You can't see it anymore. Now, because you treasure it so much. What I want to say is, treasure is what you perceive as treasure. A new car may not be a treasure. A new house may not be a treasure. A new phone may not be a new treasure. May not be a treasure. Why? It's all a matter of perspective. There can be people who even say an old car is a treasure to me because they value it so much. They say, this is something very precious to me. I love it a lot. I spent so much money on it, I must take care of it, even though it's an old car. He poured all his life savings to it. To another person, he can say, I am not interested in cars. Even though it's a new car, if somebody scratched it, I'm okay. It's not a treasure on earth. It is just a tool. things can be a treasure because you perceive them to be a treasure, not because of the amount of money it's worth. It can be a Rolls Royce, a $1 million car, and it can be regarded as a tool. So now, when you think about all the things that we have on this earth, your education, your school, some can even make them into treasure. I am in a famous school, so I'm very proud of it. You have made it into a treasure. I have a very good score for my CCA, so I will get an A for my CCA. I treat that as a treasure. I hold it in high regard, so I will commit, or I want to get an A, so I will put a lot of resource, a lot of emphasis to it. I have made it into a treasure. But there can be others who would look at these things and say, these are tools. They are not treasures. I'm just using them, or they are useful for me to help me with my education, for me to learn what I need to learn in school, and to move on. You can look at your O-level certificate. For those in Sec 4, you'll be going for exams soon. Some will treat this as a treasure. If I do very well, I'm very proud of it. This is my ticket to success. Now I'll go to a good junior college, I'll go into a good course in poly, my future is set. If I didn't do well, it's not treasure anymore. It's useless to me. But the same cert can be seen as a tool. Just for you to finish this part of education, for you to learn what you need to learn to move on with life, because we need to be equipped with knowledge to work. It is just a tool. I don't regard it as the most important thing in my life. I don't treasure it. So let's look again at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So this means it is not the value of that thing. It's not how precious, it is not how expensive this thing is, but it's how you perceive it to be. If you perceive it to be important, it will become a treasure. And where your treasure is, your heart will follow. So don't have the wrong focus. Make sure that you know that earthly things are tools. They're not treasures. It is not wrong to be rich. It is not wrong to have many possessions. It is not wrong to live in a big house, a big car, to have a good career, to have a good job, to have a good O-level results. It's not wrong. Use them as tools. Don't turn them into treasures. So you will not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Okay, so that is the first point. Have the right focus. Okay, the letter F. Have the right focus. Don't turn your earthly things into treasures. They are just tools. Now, let's look at the second part of the passages that we read. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. Now, it will talk about faith. First, we talked about focus. The focus, meaning don't make your earthly things into treasures. Now, there will be earthly things that we will need, but this one we need faith. Look at verse 31 to 33. Let's read these three verses together, verses 31 to 33. Okay, ready? Matthew 6:31 and reading. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, there are things which you don't regard as treasures. There are things you want to eat, things you drink, things you clothe. These are bare necessities. They are no longer talking about treasures, but these are not treasures. These are basic living requirements, but they are important. So for us, maybe again, we are very distant from this type of agriculture environment. So because we live in Singapore, if there's anything we need to eat, we just go to NTUC. Plenty of things there. Plenty of shops open. Sheng Siong, NTUC, Cold Storage, right? It's too convenient. But again, you remember that when Jesus spoke these words, he was speaking to people living in the time of Palestine 2,000 years ago. Of course, it still applies to us. But it's just in Singapore, we tend to forget about all these. But if you go to Africa, eating, drinking, clothes, these are still big issues. So let's see. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's not saying don't think about it, but don't worry about it. Okay? What he means, the word think is thinking, taking thought with a preoccupation. You are worrying about it. Don't worry about your survival. These are important, yes. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Also, Jesus said, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows. You need the basic things in life. And for Singaporeans, I think what you will probably think of your basic needs is your school, right? School is so important that people are consumed by it. They get stressed by it. And you can say, I need to survive this year. Okay. Don't worry about this. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows you need to pass your test. He knows you have your CA. He knows you have your SA, your semester assessment coming up. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first. And then, all these things shall be added unto you. So this speaks of having faith. So, have faith that God will provide. Have faith that your heavenly Father knows what you need. You may not need an A, but you definitely need to finish your test. And God will give you the grace. Put in your effort, trust Him, and He will help you through your exams and your tests. So now we have considered Matthew 6. We have considered two things. Just let me summarize them before we move on. The first thing we have covered in verses 19 to 21 is, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, because they are temporal. And then in verses 31 to 33, Jesus tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, all the things that you need to survive, to move on with your life, God will supply according to what you need. Okay. So one more thing I forgot to explain is, when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, He also said, seek ye first His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does it mean by seek God's righteousness? We know what it means, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's clear in our mind. God, the things of God must come first. We need to put God first in our life. But what about His righteousness? It means to seek, to find what is the righteousness of God. Now, it means to know the righteousness of God. How do you know the righteousness of God? How do you know the character of God? What does God demand? What does God require of us? How should we live our lives? That is found in God's word. So when we say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it means, let me paraphrase it, put God first in your life, let the heavenly things be first in your life, and understand and know God's word. To seek the righteousness of God, to know the righteousness of God means to know God's word. To know God's character. God is righteousness. So we need to put God as our priority, and also God's word as our priority. Turn with me quickly to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 verse 19. So for Matthew, we just go to the next book, Mark chapter 4 verse 19. We will see a very similar parallel to the problems of cares of this world and treasures of on this earth. Mark chapter 4 verse 19. Okay, I'll read for you. Now this is the parable of the sower. And one of the seeds fell on this ground, which was a thorny ground. And the thorny ground poses two problems. And these two problems are related to Matthew chapter 6. Okay, let me read for you. Mark chapter 4 verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in. What do? They stifle your spiritual growth. They choke the word, and your spiritual life is unfruitful. Do you see the parallel? The deceitfulness of riches. These are the treasures of earth. They are called deceitful because outwardly they look nice. Having these things make you look important. Having these things make you look prestigious. You have an education from Oxford. Wow. You graduated from the top university in America. Wow. You went to RJC. Wow. Right? Some people have this kind of impression. But they are deceitful. Why are they deceitful? Because they don't give you, they don't bring you any spiritual good. In fact, they probably bring you more harm. Remember what Jesus said about a rich man? He said it is harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Riches are destructive. I say that one more time. It is easier for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Because riches will distance you away from God and you will become self-reliant. Earthly treasures, similarly, like riches, they will make you proud of yourself. And proud in yourself means you don't need God, you don't see your sinfulness, you don't see your wickedness. And also similar to that, this is the reason why when you go to many modernized countries, Western countries, where the economy is strong, the people are rich, the gospel cannot penetrate in. These people don't need God. They have everything they want in life. But if you go to third world countries where the people are poor, because they don't have riches to stop them approaching God, they are very ready to accept the gospel. It's not due to education. It's due to the state of the heart. When you are comfortable in life, you don't need to trust God. Why would you need to? You have everything you need. You're healthy, you're wealthy. Why do you need to look up and look at God? But when you're struggling in life, things are difficult. You realize your own mortality. You realize that life is short. You realize that you are frail. And that is why when you are presented the gospel, people who are sick usually very quickly ready to look at their life and say, I need a savior. But people who are healthy, you pass them a tract, right? You will see a hand they will reject. You know, thank you, I don't need it. So these are the deceitfulness of riches. They make you think that this is all that matters in this life, but actually it is almost like a expressway into hell. It's hard for you to enter into heaven. Second one was the cares of this world, right? In Mark chapter 4, verse 19. The cares of the world talk about what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Aren't these the things? The cares of this world? You need this to survive. But remember the words of Jesus. Your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. So, let me just quickly summarize what we've covered. We need to place God first because placing treasures on earth first is deceitful. Deceitful riches. They are temporal. They don't last. We need to place God first because our Heavenly Father will supply all our needs in this life. The basic needs. So we don't have to worry about them. We can put God first and put a focus on God. But now let's look at the last part of this passage is placing God first in your church life. Church life. Now, does it sound strange that if I'm in church, aren't I already placing God first? Why do I need to place God first in my church life? The very fact I'm in church, does it mean I place God first? Yes and no. So yes, it is true that having a church life means you are concerned for spiritual things. That's why you are here and not outside. Not out at the swimming pool or out having fun watching a movie with your friends. But there can be times when our worldly cares creep in and affect our church life. So while you may be here at Teams Retreat, the back of your mind may be wondering, Monday's test. Oh, my assignment on Wednesday. I've got a project work due on Friday. These cares creep into our life. What is the remedy? Remember what Jesus said. Your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, God will take care. He will enable you to fulfill your responsibilities. Of course, you need to work hard. We need to put in your effort. But don't worry. Don't worry about them and don't lose sleep over it. God will help you and take care of it. And don't make them your treasure. Because they are, if you put so much emphasis thinking, I need to get an A for this. It is your becoming your treasure. This treasure doesn't last. It's a corruptible treasure. So that's one reason, why you need to put God first in your church life. Worldly cares can creep in. But I have a second point for this. Now, this one is probably more dangerous, I feel. Now, why we need to remember to put God first in our church life is because there may be cases where people, or teens, or even people like me, adults, where our heart is no longer close to God. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 29. I'd like you to see a rebuke from the Lord, how the people of Israel, the nation, the people of God, have forgotten or have no longer put God first in their, you can call it church life, in their life as a spiritual witness for the Lord. They don't have a church, but the whole nation is a witness for God. Isaiah 29 verse 13. Okay, I hope you found it. Isaiah is after Song of Solomon, chapter 29 verse 13. Okay, so if you all are there, let's read this together. Isaiah 29 verse 13, and reading. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. This verse is a rebuke by the Lord. He says, for as much as these people draw near me, just like us coming to church, we draw near to God, coming near to God, but it is insincere worship. Because God says, they draw near me with their mouth. They go through the motion. They sing the hymns. They sing praise to God. With their lips, they say the Lord's Prayer. They say, all to Jesus I surrender. With their lips, they say, they honor God. God is God the Omnipotent. They sing. But what is the condition of their heart? Their heart is far removed. It's removed, far removed from the Lord. And their fear of the Lord is not real. It's taught by the precept of men. It is not due to a reverential fear of God. If this speaks of your church life, now this will be a very dangerous position to be. Because you are in the church, but you are not in. You are physically in the church, but you are spiritually not in the church. Because your heart is not with the Lord. But your physical presence betrays that. Everybody thinks that, oh, this Brother Adrian is so holy. He comes every Sunday. He comes early for worship. He comes for sunset. He comes for prayer meeting. Very good. He will go and study Bible classes. But why do all this? Or maybe another teen goes for teens retreat, goes for Lentong, sings in the YPC, Young People's Choir, very active. But everybody thinks that this person is very good because physically you're in the church, but this person's heart is actually far from the Lord. Now that is very dangerous. So I hope this verse doesn't speak of you, but if it does, may the Holy Spirit convict you to have your heart drawn back to the Lord so that your physical presence in the church and your spiritual presence in the church, you are here. It will be one. When you worship the Lord, you're really worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. When you serve Him, you are serving Him with all your might, all your soul, and all your heart. Lastly, I'd like to turn you to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, on a similar warning. So Isaiah spoke of one case where the people worship the Lord with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. And in Malachi, even their hands, what they do, is full of sin, even as they serve the Lord. Now look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 7. So in the case of Isaiah, they went through the motion. In the case of Malachi, it was even more severe. They didn't even go through the proper motion, as it were. Let's look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord says through Malachi, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say," the Israelites say, "wherein?" Where? "Where have we polluted thee?" "In that ye say," and God replies, "in that, you Israelites, you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible." Look on into verse 8. "And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil?" So what the Israelites have said, that worshipping God is a burden. We need to give Him a perfect offering. That was the commandment in Leviticus. God says, when you bring an offering, it must not have any spot or blemish. It must be a perfect. But what did they do? They offered the blind goat for sacrifice. Since we have to offer it to God, take the worst condition. Anyway, nobody knows lah. Just give. God doesn't see. He's blind. So we offer the lame goat, the blind goat, the sick goat. Verse 8. "And if he offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts." So in the Isaiah's time, they went through the motions, but their heart was far from God. In Malachi's time, things have degraded even more. Now when they worship God, they don't even follow the prescribed commandment in Leviticus, where you are supposed to bring a perfect offering. They bring a lame offering, a blind one. And God rebukes them and says, if you were to offer this to your governor, your leader, will he accept it in your hands? Of course not. It will be an insult to him. Imagine you are told to bring a gift to another principal of another school as a token of appreciation. And it's supposed to be a hamper. You're supposed to buy things and pack a hamper. But instead of packing things nicely, you just stuff it into a plastic bag and just here. Now, what image would it give? That you couldn't care less, right? It's a very bad image. Now, this obviously is not a good comparison, but you know my point from this illustration. Even humans know what is the proper thing to do when you show honor. But God is the God of heaven, the King of kings, and you don't even show Him honor in the sacrifices that you offer. Look at verse 12 and verse 13, the last two verses for Malachi. "But ye have profaned it." The people profane it in that ye say, "The table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible." We can't stand it. It's contemptuous to us. "Ye said also, behold, what a weariness." It is so leche. It is a weariness for us to bring and to sacrifice to the Lord. "And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn," torn meaning dead, eaten up by animals, torn, "the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord." So I hope these verses also do not speak of the way we serve the Lord, where we say, "God, it's such a pain, it's such a weariness, it is so leche." And then we say in dialect, "pek chek," you know, "pek chek," don't know whether you know this word. "Very frustrating to serve you. Such a pain. Pain in the neck. I don't want to do this. But because I have no choice, my parents say I have to do it, I do it." Now that attitude is clearly not putting God first in your church life. So I hope this will never speak of any one of us. Either Isaiah's case or Malachi's case. I hope and pray that the only struggle you have in your heart is the worldly cares, because this happens all the time. It happens to adults too. You worry about your work, and sometimes the things at the back of your mind affect your worship, affect your service. But as we consider how we put God first in our lives, let's remember what the Lord said: where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you put your treasure on heavenly things, and remember, your treasure is what you perceive things to be. If you say, I treasure my Sabbath day, I treasure my fellowship with people in church because they are my fellow brethren, I treasure Bible studies because I get to learn the righteousness of God, the ways of God, I treasure YF, I will make time on Saturdays to go for YF because I get to build good godly friendship and also get to learn God's word. This is important. I put this as my treasure. Your heart will be placed there. And if others were to invite you to say, let's go out for dinner, let's go bowling, go watch something, go out and have some fun on Saturday, you would gladly decline them and say, no thanks, I'm going to church. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be. If you put your treasure on your friends, I want to have many friends, I want to have a good relationship with them, I treasure the fun I have with them, your heart will follow there. So put God first in your life, also in church life. May God be the center of your life. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks for the illumination of Scripture, which teaches us where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good God who will be faithful to provide us all the things that we need in this life, that we don't have to worry for our daily provision, our daily sustenance, because you know that we have need of all these things. So help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and also to seek your righteousness, that all these things will be added to us, that we can focus and put a priority on spiritual things. So Lord, help us to lead holy lives, not just outside but also in the church, that our church life will be acceptable before you because we put you as a priority, and we also give of our lives to serve you in any area, in any way we can in this church. So bless, Lord, this Sabbath day that the teens are gathered here to have fellowship with each other, to consider your word, to discuss. We pray, Lord, you will bless their time. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. I'll pass the time back to the chairman.
Okay, can you guys take out your stuff, take out this area, bring everything down to the fellowship hall.